Morning. Hope you're excited about hearing about the Word of God today. Got some really important things I want to go over with you over the next 4 weeks that are really important. So if you like to take notes, I would encourage you to do that, because some of these things may be brand new to you. Some of them are going to be, I've heard that a million times, okay? But some of these things may be really new to you. I want to talk about an exciting discipleship system. Now, it's important to note the word system. Goals are important, okay? But systems are what are really important. You can have a great goal and no system and fail miserably. There's such a thing as a big, hairy, audacious goal. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but I learned it a long time ago. It's called a BHAG, okay? And whether you're in education or business or athletics, sometimes you need a great big goal, something you're aiming for. There's things called potential. And if you're in the business world or in the athletics world or education, you have to realize what the potential is and set goals to be able to reach those that you're trying to reach. I think last Sunday was one of those potential moments, not just here, but everywhere. Every church in America sees their potential on Easter, right? Because you understand what could be. But many times where we fail as followers of Christ are to have the systems that are necessary to make sure that our potential is reached. One of the books I have my guys read in the Federal Prism is called Atomic Habits. That's an interesting title, isn't it? Atomic Habits. The author of that book teaches people in education and business and athletics about their potential and how if they just change things 1% a week, how they could reach some amazing results and some amazing goals. In other words, there's potential, there's investment, and eventually as you invest time and energy and money and the resources, you can accomplish some very big things. Now, when we were looking at discipleship as a congregation in Terre Haute, one of the things we had to recognize was potential. Who could we reach and how could we reach them? And could we grow to the size that God would want us to grow to? And sometimes people in churches, not just Rockville, but everywhere, fail to recognize their potential. They get stuck in what the status is, okay? What average is, or what the mean is, okay? And fail to be challenged to reach those who could be reached. And we're a church of thousands at Maryland and Terre Haute, and every once in a while I have to remind folks there are 100,000 people in our neighborhood. 100,000 people. And when you forget that, okay, you're not as motivated as you could be to reach people with the gospel. You need a system. And a lot of churches have tried evangelism as a system, and honestly, it's only a piece of the system. It is not the system. And I want to challenge you with that thought, because sometimes people think that's it. But actually, discipleship is learning who Jesus Christ is and walking after him is the most important thing that followers of Jesus Christ need to recognize and grow. We've heard, at least a couple of weeks ago, about the potential, if you would, about things growing in good soil. And that's the truth behind the system we're talking about, things growing in good soil. The church in California I mentioned a few weeks ago is Mariners Church. And they recognized their potential there in the San Francisco area. And they decided they wanted to create a new system to grow as a congregation. And when they did that, they found that there was a model or a system that was working in Africa. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are more Christians in the continent of Africa than there are in the United States of America. That didn't used to be, okay? It's the fastest growing part of the world when it comes to the kingdom of God. It's amazing. And some of it is in a system, the ability to help people to grow in their faith or discipleship. I challenged you a few weeks ago with the fact that their movement was dedicated to change a city, Nairobi, Kenya. They wanted it to be more like the kingdom of God. They were also challenged to change a continent, the continent of Africa, and literally to win the world. That is called a big, hairy, audacious goal. That's a BHAG, isn't it? It's a BHAG to say, let's just get, you know, let's get Nairobi or Kenya, let alone the whole continent, or to win the world. Sometimes we've lost that motivation as followers of Christ. We just get satisfied with what things are. And they knew if they were going to do that, they needed to move people from being consumers, right? They needed to move people from being consumers to being connected. We talked about that a little bit, how we get people connected. Then from being connected to being committed, right? To be committed, and then from being committed to being compelled. Now that's sort of the big picture, if you would, with a discipleship system called Rooted. That's what they're using there in Africa. Mariners has adopted it in the U.S. And other churches in the U.S. are purchasing that system and helping their people through a discipleship system or program. And we want to challenge this congregation to be able to see that as a possibility for your future, to be a help, to help people grow in their relationship to Jesus and be used by Jesus. If you're a book reader, here's a book you might want to read. It's by Banning Leibscher. He's one of the worship leaders in a group called Passion. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that worship group. It's amazing music that they have. And Banning wrote this book called Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. Rooted, The Hidden Places Where God Develops You. I'm going to use some of that material over the next 4 weeks in combination with the system called Rooted out of Kenya. And it's really important to recognize that principle, if you would, of what it means to be rooted. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, there's some familiarity with this passage, I know. If you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, this isn't a new verse. But I want to point out some very important pieces within it. It says this, therefore, as you received Christ. And so a lot of people believe that evangelism or getting people saved is the most important thing in all the world. I had an uncle who was a part of Campus Crusade for Christ a long, long time ago. It was one of the most exciting evangelism tools in the world. And he had the four spiritual laws stuck in his pocket. I don't know if you remember that little pamphlet. But he just was busy everywhere he went getting people to read that little pamphlet with him, the four spiritual laws, and pray with him to receive Christ. There was only one problem with that. It says, right, to receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Now, that's a phrase you could miss if you didn't understand what Paul was talking about. He was talking about living in him. Whenever you see that word in the New Testament, walk after the Spirit, walk after Christ, it's really talking about how you live. You know, it's kind of like that walk in my shoes for a while stuff, you know. It's following Christ. Just getting someone on a street corner to pray to receive Christ is not a system, okay? It's a piece of what people do and should do, but it doesn't answer all the issues. And so it goes on in Colossians 2:6 to say, rooted, right, and built up. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, established in the faith, okay? Good root system. Established in the faith, as they were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It is important to win people to Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. That whether they're family or friends or neighbors, to get people to know Jesus Christ, to be baptized into Him, all of those things that we typically would do. But if it stops there, it's kind of like the rest of the parable in Matthew. The things of this world and the devil and all kinds of stuff can simply tear apart those people's lives. And they don't become disciples of Jesus Christ, students of Jesus. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to sign up for class. We need to sign up to learn. That's what it means to be a disciple. And so what they've done in Mariners is taken that sort of overall view of discipleship there in Africa and said, we need to do that. Not just get people to accept Christ, but to be rooted and built up in Him. So all of our good growth comes from being submersed into intimacy with God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and living on mission. So look at that sentence. All of our good growth comes from being submersed in intimacy with God. That's the first soil, intimacy with God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and living on mission. Those are the key components of the good soil that we need to be planted in. If the Word of God is planted in anything outside of those things, it can easily be lost or destroyed, and you just wonder where that person is now, okay? But they haven't been established and rooted, and they grow. So within these soils, there are seven rhythms, if you would. Now, I'm not much at rhythm, okay? Don't ask me to dance. But I understand rhythm and music. You probably do too. You probably understand seasons, if you would, as we were talked to today about winter and spring and summer and fall. We talk about how things come and go, and you have certain patterns, if you would. Maybe pattern's a good word for you. But in the rooted system that they use there in African Mariners, they talk about seven rhythms that need to be established within those soils. So we're going to look at those rhythms and soils, but these seven different ways to see how we can establish those rhythms. And so let's look at the graphic up here, the seven rhythms, if you would. Have that graphic? Those seven rhythms, okay? There we go. So those rhythms are about intimacy, serving, and mission are the soils. And the rhythms, if you would, are daily devotion, prayer, finding freedom from strongholds. Those are the rhythms within intimacy. Then there's the soil of serving, and the rhythms are in community and sacrificial giving. Those are the different rhythms within that soil of serving. And then mission, which is worshiping God and sharing your story. Now that's where it might be a little complicated for you. But hopefully over these 4 weeks, we'll see those different soils, the first soil being intimacy, the second soil of serving, and that third soil of mission. So within each of those soils are these different rhythms, if you would. And so the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to look at the rhythms that are within intimacy, the rhythm of daily devotion and prayer. So in daily devotion, I want us to think about something that's maybe a little bit different. I've noticed that around here you have these available, these little booklets about daily devotion, okay? That's maybe a word that might be a little old school for you, do your devotions, okay? That's been around for a long time, but that word devotion is about your heart, isn't it? You're devoted to someone or you're devoted to something. And so daily devotions are the way that you build up your love for Jesus Christ, for God and the Holy Spirit, and you have some things that you read for your devotions. This kind of booklet is amazing, okay? Because it's a system. okay? It's a system. It's not the system, but it's a system. I've seen all kinds of those books and different systems for daily having your devotions. What's important is that you find one that you will use. Okay, did you hear that? Putting hundreds of these out in the vestibule does no good whatsoever, okay, if you don't use it. It's kind of like the old adage that any teacher would tell you. It only works, ready, if you work it. Okay? So if this doesn't work for you, find one that does. You could go to a Bible bookstore. You could get on Google. I mean, you can find all kinds of little booklets that would help you to be able to do this. Now, in Atomic Habits, the author says that you need to make a habit obvious. You need to make it visible. It needs to be within your eyesight, okay? Here's the problem with this. If you don't put it somewhere where you see it every morning or every day, it doesn't do you any good. So that's a key note when it comes to developing a habit. You need a good 30 days in a row, okay, to be able to develop some kind of habit when it comes to daily devotions. So if it isn't obvious, it won't work. That's why, you ready? That's why this little thing works for a lot of people. Now, you can get mad at this little thing if you want to. It just won't do you any good. It's here to stay, okay? So whether you're a parent and your kids have more screen time than they do parent time, which most of the time they do, okay, you have got to take advantage of the ability to make things obvious, okay? Every morning at 8:01, my lovely wife down here has a little ding that goes off on her phone, and she does a daily devotion with this guy. I sometimes think he's her second boyfriend. Not her first, I'm him, okay? But that goes off 8:01 every day. And she's watching and listening and reading. In fact, the other day, an app showed up on my phone. And I said, where did that come from? She said, well, I was listening to... And he said that this would be a really good tool. Boom. She downloaded it, okay? It has to be obvious. And so for a lot of people, their phone, their laptop, their tablet, some way that every day they're reminded that they need to do it. Prayer Connect, I'm going to pat Dave and Kim Butts on the back up here, even though they're not here today. But Prayer Connect is the key piece at Harvest Prayer Ministries for people getting something every day in their inbox. Every day. So when they go to their inbox, there it is, Prayer Connect, and there's a devotion that they can read every day. They don't even have to go hunt for it. Okay? It's there. There's also a little app on this phone that is the number one downloaded app in the world. Be interesting, I took a test today. It's called YouVersion. It's the number, I don't care anywhere in the world. You can be in darkest Africa and find a Bible version in Swahili in your hand because of YouVersion, started by one church in Oklahoma, okay, and created that. Now, the reason I bring it up is you don't like this? You don't like your phone dinging with maybe a daily devotion? You can go to YouVersion, and I don't even know how many they have of daily devotionals that you can get on your phone. Once again, you ready? It only works if you work it. Just because it's in your inbox or dings doesn't do you any good. You have to make sure that you work it, okay? So it's important to be able to do that. Now, at Maryland, our pastor, Scott Longyear, went to Hawaii, not for the reason you think, but he went to study at a church in Hawaii that developed a system of daily devotions that was working amazingly across the literally mostly United States and some of the islands called life journaling. We use that at Maryland all the time. We have life journaling groups that get together and journal together. It's called life journaling. The little acronym is called SOAP. That's an interesting one, isn't it? SOAP. S, scripture. O, observation. A, application. P, prayer. I have my guys in prison do it every day. First thing they do when they come to Christian A, Life Connections, is they have three scriptures they're to journal. And so there's the scripture. They go through and they find observations, things they see, questions they have, wonderings about it. They write an application. They're taught to say, what does that passage of scripture say to me today? How can I apply it? It's kind of like that good old phrase, so what? Okay? You read something. Everybody, after they get done reading it, ought to say, so what? Is there anything in there for me? And then they write a prayer. S-O-A-P. Real simple, but the same thing's true when it comes to daily devotions. You could get those from a lectionary. You could get them from Life Journal on the YouVersion app. They have that whole thing on there. But if you don't do it, it just simply doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Now, one of the things that we've learned as a congregation and with teachers is that to the degree, if you would, or there's a metric, a Lifeway, in the Southern Baptist Church, they're the largest Sunday school group and largest publisher of books in the Christian church. Lifeway says there's a direct metric that if you tell someone how often you read the Bible and how much, those two things, they will tell you how engaged they are in their church and how well they serve in the community. That's interesting, isn't it? It's proportionate, okay? It's that old adage, what you put in comes out, okay? So if you're putting the Word of God in you on a regular basis and it's getting into your heart and your mind, there are things you're going to do. That's where your intimacy will come from. One of the great commandments that we have in Scripture is in Matthew 22:37 that says this, He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. That's what devotion is all about. Making sure that you're loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all those things are simply a measure of how much you're in love with Jesus. That's your daily devotion. Dallas Willard put it this way. He said that solitude and silence are the two most disciplines of our day that are there in order to find intimacy with the Lord. Now, those might not be words that you would use much with solitude. You probably know what silence is, right? But you just simply need to get alone with Christ, with His Word. You can't have intimacy without being alone. When we were raising three kids, you could call it a date night. But if all three kids were around, it was not a date night, right? That's not intimacy. That's chaos, but it's not intimacy, okay? So it's like everything else in this world now. If you want to have intimacy with Christ, you've got to get alone with Him. There has to be a quiet time. That's another word that's used, or have that devotion. So that's that first rhythm of daily devotion. The second one is prayer. Prayer is well beyond making requests to God. And I know sometimes that's what we think prayer is all about. But it's actually, as Paul says in Galatians 5:25, keeping in step with the Spirit. The way we walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit is how we pray. If we're not praying continually, we're not praying on a regular basis, we're not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here within us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so if we're not walking with Him and in prayer, then we're not being a part of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Learning to pray intimately is the way that we stay connected to God and to His power and to all of His resources. When we do that, we can understand what urgency is. And so many times with prayer, I think you're just like every other human being I know, and I know it's true with me, I pray more when I need more. Right? I pray more when there's more trouble. If there's all kinds of stuff that's happening, and there's trouble, or there's all kinds of things I'm desperate for, my prayer level just raises to its highest. Urgency has a way of doing that. I understand that. And so sometimes the enemy can use everything's going okay in our lives to get us sidetracked, right? It's just a matter of just simply a whole bunch of apathy. When things are going good, we can maybe back off from praying and being as involved as we need to. So sometimes we literally have to pray about urgency and how important that is. We need times of extraordinary prayer. And that's true within the body of Christ, both as individuals and corporately. John Piper, he's one of my favorite guys to listen to, and here's what he said. He said, until you know that life is war, until you know that life is war, you don't know what prayer is for. Even rhymes. I hate it when that happens. He's good, okay? When you learn, if you would, or know that life is war, then you know what prayer is for. What happens with apathy is we forget we're at war. That's when we back off, okay? I don't know about you, but when I see scenes of war, I mean, you can't watch the news or read the newspaper or listen to the radio much anymore without hearing about the war in Ukraine. When you know there's war, there's a level of urgency that comes to your level. And so sometimes when we recognize how hard things are around us, that's when our prayer life increases. But I know that the average follower of Jesus Christ does not read their Bible every day and pray every day. Did you know that? Talking about goals and systems. And this is for all of us, okay? It's for all of us. Pastors included, if not even more, okay? If you don't have a daily routine of being in His Word and praying, then apathy's going to get you when it comes to your goals and objectives in the kingdom of God and it comes to the advancement of His kingdom. You need to do it. You need to work the system. So you need to have some way to be able to do that. Now, the Apostle Paul taught us a little bit about that in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. I know this is a familiar passage to most of us who have been Christians for a long time, but I want some of these words and phrases to kind of motivate us again when it comes to what it means to be rooted in Christ, okay, and having a daily devotional time, quiet time in the Bible and praying. Paul says this, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. In other words, he's being very pointed when he comes to helping you to understand as a follower of Christ, you need to have the whole armor on. Some of us have bits and pieces occasionally, but we go into battle not fully prepared, and we need to be. So he says, if we're going to stand against the schemes of the devil, life is war, then here's what we need to do. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. This is something I think we forget. Did you know the devil has some objectives, some goals, and a system? Paul tells us that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's on a mission. Life is war. So if you know that it's war, then you know what prayer is for. So Paul says, here's something you need to understand. Now, I need to be reminded every day. You ready? Because every day I want to fight with people. Do you? Probably you do. You may not want to say it out loud. But you think most of your problems in any given day are people. And that's when the devil has us. He thinks I'm out to fight against other people. That's where we get sidetracked. We get off mission. Now, I simply want to remind you of something that I know deep down inside you know. But you believe in God who is almighty, right? All-powerful, knows everything, and is everywhere. Okay? Do you believe there's a devil? Do you believe there's a place called hell? Do you believe there are demons? Do you believe that demonic forces are at work? And they're out to oppress people, obsess people, to steal from people, kill people, and destroy the plans of God. That's an interesting combination, isn't it? Because I know a lot of followers of Christ, every day are reminded, I believe in an almighty God. And then they forget, okay, there's an enemy. And they get sidetracked. He's out to get you every day. And one of the things he does is get you to think that you need to fight with people. Rather than pray, you ready, against these kinds of things, cosmic powers in a dark world, against evil and spiritual forces in heavens, in the same way we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work, do you believe that demons are at work? I do. I see it every day. When we see evil in the world, here's where our problem is. Sometimes we think it's evil people rather than the forces of evil doing what? Using people. That there's something behind that evil behavior. And we're supposed to be at war with that, okay? And then he says this, for this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with the truth like a belt around your waist and righteousness like armor on your chest. Man, there's two important things, isn't there? Truth and righteousness. If you're going to get ready to fight every day, you'd better have those two things, okay? Truth and righteousness. And your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. You need to be someone who brings peace and not war. And you do it through the gospel, okay? In every situation, underline that, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, okay? We fight with spiritual weapons. We fight through prayer, through the word of God, intercession, and then pray at all times in the Spirit. Stop right there. This is one of our major, major oversights as followers of Christ. I don't know how many times you've read that phrase, but I don't know how many times I fail okay, to do what that verse says. It says this, right? Pray at all times in the Spirit. Okay, you're going to say, hey, bud, this is not a Pentecostal church. Okay, this isn't a charismatic church. You're right, it's a Christian church. Therefore, what? We pray in the Spirit. We have to. When we fail to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is within us and empowers us and enables us to pray, we get sidetracked, okay? We are spiritual beings. And sometimes in the evangelical world, we simply neglect the role of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're real good to pray in Jesus' name. Don't throw things. But we don't always do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't ask for guidance by the Holy Spirit. We're not walking by the Holy Spirit. We're quenching the Spirit, okay? We need to be spiritual beings. And when we pray, sometimes we literally need to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to be fighting for today? Where's the war today? Where do I engage, okay? Where am I to be involved? And so Paul is asking us to pray, as he says, at all times in the Spirit, and then look at this list, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Those are some important words in how we're to engage. We're to be prayer warriors. That's where our battle is. So let me summarize again, okay? We've been talking about three soils, the soil of intimacy, serving, and mission, seven rhythms. And in this first soil of intimacy, the first two rhythms are this daily devotion and prayer. Those are two of them. Next week, we're going to look at a really, really hard one, okay, about battling strongholds in our lives. Because sometimes in the Protestant evangelical world, we don't always look at those kinds of things as we ought to. Where are the strongholds in our lives, and are we fighting those? But we need to be doing it. So that's our intimacy, okay? There's a really cool song by Phil Wickham called The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, every day, I think the fight's up to me. I need to work harder, try harder, be smarter, get more money. I mean, whatever it is, that somehow I think the battle's up to me. If I don't do it right, show up more, do all those kinds of things, then it won't happen. But here's what I want to remind us about today. The battle is in the hands of the Lord. And He's the one we trust. He's the one that we fight. There's a phrase in this song that says, so when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. I don't know about you. That's a hard thing, getting on my knees. But every once in a while, when things are urgent, okay, and there's extraordinary prayer, that's what I would do. Do you know why you get on your knees? Because it's humbling. Boy, you talk, you know, she shared today about washing feet. That's humbling. So is praying on your knees. That's humbling. You get low. And so when he writes that, he says, when I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. We need some hand lifters around here. Okay? With my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. Those are important details, okay, about the fight that we're in. It's his fight. We need to fight it the way he told us to fight it, okay? With spiritual weapons, making sure we're in the Word of God and we're praying. So this morning I want to challenge you. This is the invitation. You ready? This isn't just about receiving Christ. It is. And if there's someone here who needs to receive Christ for the first time, there are going to be some folks just right behind this door over here that you can go talk to about that. But my challenge to you today is if you've got outside the system, You need to get in the system again, okay? Don't just intend to read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. If you don't have a way to do that, find a way to do that. You're living in a world that has so many different ways to do that now. You're really without excuse. Find a way to do that, to get in the Word, and then pray. Make sure you understand that you are interceding into the heavens against spiritual powers of darkness to accomplish the things of God. That's your challenge, to make sure you do that, okay? Make sure that you're in that intimacy, okay, within those rhythms of daily, in the Word, and in prayer, okay? Let me pray. God, we thank you that you have sent your Son into this world to come up against the plans of the enemy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life and victory with eternal life. And so if there is someone here this morning who needs to accept you, Lord, we just ask you to work in their mind and their heart today. We know that you're the one who would draw them today to come and follow you. And Father, I pray for everyone within this community that, God, you would help us in the rich intimacy that we need to have, that you would help us to find ways to be in your Word every day and to pray every day. Give us that hunger and thirst after that kind of righteousness. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.